Right here on 830 WCCO. Good morning. Welcome to our 12. It's now, Julie Weisenor is with us.
12.
It's now 12 below. We just dropped another one. This is kind of the morning, as you know, this time of day when the temps do drop, believe it or not,
yes.
Like it or not. And that is minus 12 now. And we're still going to talk lawns and gardens. Matters not the temperature.
Thank goodness.
But if you're new to the show, thanks for joining us. Julie, as I said, is with the University of Minnesota Extension, helping us out a lot these Saturday mornings, helping you out.
Yeah.
And if you do have any kind of a lawn or garden question, and yes, even a Creeping Charlie question, we usually get one of those a week. By all means, call us or text us. 651-989-9226. We have cleared the lines, all set for your lawn or garden questions.
Wide open.
651-989-9226. If you'd rather, send Julie a text, 81807, 81807. What are gardeners doing when it's 12 below zero in this time of year?
Well, they're taking care of their house plants, of course. You know, that's an important thing to do, and to keep scouting your house plants to make sure that they're doing fine and you don't have any little pests in there. And then they're also thinking about the spring. They're looking at, I'm starting to get catalogs that work in here at home. And so they're starting to plan about what to do for this coming spring. So we're doing classes, getting ready for classes. The Master Gardener Core course started yesterday, and we're all involved with that. So, we're off and running.
Now, what's going on at the Arboretum? There's always something going on.
Always something at the Arboretum. In February, they are starting I'm not sure of the exact name, but it's an exhibit for the month around fragrance. So wherever you go, they're going to have exhibits and displays of plants that have some kind of fragrance, whether they're herbs or flowers. And so I was talking to Ricky Garza, who's one of the gardeners out there. He manages the conservatory, amongst other things. And he was explaining that they're going to have – he's been starting all sorts of plants, bulbs and herbs and all sorts of really fragrant plants. And they're going to be switching out these displays throughout the month of February. So it's going to be a great time to be out there. It's going to smell awesome everywhere you go. So,
all right. Again, for those that are not familiar, it's if you head out west on Highway 5 to 41, you'll kind of see the big sign there.
Yes. Right
and
on the corner.
It's just beyond that that intersection. And it's just a great resource. Just like the thing you guys have in your website.
Oh, the extension site.
The extension site is phenomenal.
Garden page. Yeah, 8.4 million hits last year.
Now, our other, visits. And I know you must check them out, the Florida and California, these other universities, do they have as good a site?
There's a lot of great extension sites. Yeah, University of Florida is one of my favorite for tropical plants. They just do a great job. And Ed Gilman is one of the professors there, and he does a great job on pruning as well. So he's got really good stuff on the web as well.
So
there's a lot
of
great resources through Extension overall.
Our resource is Julie today at 651-989-9226, or send a text 81807. I forgot to mention when you walked in, were the Abiders playing?
Hey, yeah, we've got a gig.
You sound
back
shocked.
In action. I know. It's been a busy year.
It has been.
Lots of things going on. We will be out at Billy's in Rockford on Highway 55, January 27th.
Coming up.
Yep.
All right,
it'll be the whole me and the boys, whole gang.
All right. We'll remind folks of that as we get closer to that date. Text messages are coming in, Julie, 651-989-9226. Here's one. Is it too late or too cold to spray wilt-proof on my evergreens?
Yes. Yeah.
It'll probably freeze before it
hits the plant.
Yeah. So it's too late.
No, don't be spraying anything right now.
No. All right. Nope. Very good. All right. Another text. How do I keep my coleus alive in the house this winter?
Well, you have to treat it like houseplant, so it needs a bright window. That's one of the limiting factors of our homes in Minnesota is our light. And so if you're lucky enough to have a southern or easterly exposed window, that's awesome. So keep it watered and, feel the soil before you water. That's another thing that we do, too, is we tend to We tend to overwater our plants. We give them too much love, and we want to feel that soil first before we go to water it. Don't water on a schedule. Don't think every Saturday morning you're going to water while you're listening to Smart Gardens. Feel your plants first and then water them.
Oh, that makes sense.
Make sure they drain well, too.
Here's our phone number. Call us, 651-989-9226. There's one line open. Send Julie a text if you like, 81807. Somebody wants to know when are the abiders going to head over to the St. Paul side of the Twin Cities?
I know. We actually were out at the Minnesota Music Cafe for a benefit back a couple months ago.
So. Uh-huh. So you do get there.
We do get there once in a while.
Let's see. 81807 is the text. Do we wait until spring for grooming our shrubs and thorny bushes because we can see some growth to avoid? Why not do it when they are dormant?
Well, some of the plants you can do when it's dormant, certainly our trees. The problem with pruning shrubs is that sometimes if you prune them too late in the season, say if you get pruning around October, and if you listen to Teresa, she is absolutely like, stop pruning, because it can prompt growth. Now, right now, it's not going to. The tree is dormant. And you could go out there and do some pruning, but why not wait until spring when it's warmer? It's not going to make much of a difference.
Yeah, very good. Let's go back to the phones, Julie. Yvonne is calling from West St. Paul with a question. Yvonne, you're on with Julie.
Hi, you two are great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I have a question about a peace lily. You probably had a lot of those. The tips of the leaves turn brown and dry. Is that watering? Is it light?
Are you watering with your tap water?
Yes.
Okay, that's the problem.
Really?
Yep, because peace lilies have a sensitivity to fluoride.
Oh.
So, and because we have treated city water, I'm assuming that's what you're watering with. You want to water that plant with, you can buy a bottle of distilled water at the grocery store or go and fill a water jug at the reverse osmosis, you know, where you put in the jug and press the water dispenser. That's called RO water, reverse osmosis. It has absolutely nothing in it. So you're going to want to add a all-purpose household or houseplant fertilizer at about half strength every time you water when it's actively growing.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yvonne, thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Common issue.
And Yvonne leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. I want to mention our good friends at Buy the Yard, who make, in my opinion, not just mine, but make the best patio furniture in the whole world. We're so grateful to have them as the sponsor of the show. We'll talk about that patio furniture coming up in a moment or two. Minus 12, that's our Twin City temperature reading. I'll tell you what, before we break, James in St. Paul is waiting to ask a question. Go ahead, James. Thank you.
Yes, I've got a buckthorn bush that I cut down as far as I could, and I put Roundup on it, and then I covered it with black paper, or not paper, but plastic stuff. And I'm just wondering, I want to get it totally gone. Do I have to dig it up after the ground thaws, or what can I do to totally get rid of it?
If it's, if you can dig it out, that's the best way to do it. But sometimes the trunks are just huge, and it's kind of a really difficult process. But you did the right thing. You cut it down. You treated it. You might want to treat it. Might want to look at using a specific formulation of Roundup for shrubs or for brush. That will be a little bit different formulation and more suitable to the woody plants. But yeah, if you can dig out the stump, that's great. But if not, just keep treating it. It's going to take several applications of that.
That buckthorn is tough stuff.
It's tough stuff, you know. Something happens, it's going to be buckthorn and zebra mussels and
David,
milfoil.
You have a question?
Well, yeah. So I also have buckthorn in my backyard, a huge one I cut down. And my strategy was just to cut it level with the ground and then just keep mowing over it. Is that going to work, or what's going to happen? Is it going to keep coming up, or what's going to happen?
It's probably – I would treat it and then keep mowing over it if you're going to do that, because the problem is that it's going to keep putting up suckers from there. It's a pretty resilient plant.
It really is.
Yeah, so you can keep doing what you're doing, but treat it with a concentration that's appropriate for woody plants.
All right. And like your other caller asked, can I do that now over the snow or should I
wait? No, there's a temperature requirement.
Don't spray.
Minus
Don't
12 spray. Is too cold for anything right, in the garden.
All right.
Best to stay indoors.
All right, you guys, let's take a quick break here. We have more show to come. 651-989-9226 or send Julie a text, 81807. Yep, it's 12 below zero, wind chill of minus 25, dew point 16 below, and we'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on A3OWCCO. Denny Long here with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota Extension.
Good morning. Good morning.
We have callers, Julie. We have a lot of texters.
Yeah.
But let's talk to Joan and Edina, then we'll get back to the text screen. Joan, what's your question, Joan, for Julie?
Okay. I have cyclamen plants, and I put two of them under my grow lights, and the leaves have started to curl under. And I treat them the same as I do when they're in regular daylight.
So have you tried taking them out from under the grow lights to see if that changes?
Oh, yes, I did, and they still... They're
still curled under?
They're still curled under.
Hmm.
And I've had them, cyclamens, for many years as houseplants.
Sure.
And that's the first time that's happened.
And they're both doing it equally?
Yes.
Have you looked underneath the leaves to see if there's any kind of pests?
Yeah, there's no bug.
That's good.
They're voracious. Water. They love water.
Yeah, yeah. Are the leaves staying dark green or are they turning yellow
no,
at all?
No, they're dark green.
Okay.
Appearance-wise, they look fine. It's just that the leaves are curling under.
Are they by any kind of a draft or a heater or anything like that?
No.
Hmm.
I just, this never happened before. I didn't know what.
Yeah. Sometimes plants will react to change in light by changing their leaves, but curling under, I'm assuming that the leaves are cupping backwards, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, what I'm going to ask you to do is, do you have access to a computer at home?
No, I don't.
Okay.
My son does.
Okay.
I
wonder if he could take a photo of it and send it to Ask Extension. Go on our garden webpage and email it in.
Okay.
That would really be great. And then we can actually look at that. I think that's something that we want to actually have a visual of. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
All right, very good.
We'll watch for that.
Yes. Thanks, Joan, for the call. If you want to send Julie a text, 81807, here's one that came in a bit earlier. How do I become a master gardener?
Oh, good question. So the master gardeners are volunteers of Extension, of University of Minnesota Extension. We have about just under 2,500 people around the state. And you would apply to your county extension office, and there's a little bit of an application process and then an interview process in most cases. Sometimes it's a formal interview with a group of volunteers. Sometimes it's a little less formal, maybe a phone interview. Depends where you live. And if you're accepted into the program, you go through the core course. There's a fee associated with that. I'm not sure how much it is. I want to say $390 or something. If that's a hardship, you can contact the Master Gardener State Office to talk to them about how to alleviate that hardship. And you go through the 48 hours. I'm one of the instructors. I teach the herbaceous plants, which are our perennials and annuals section, also trees and shrubs, and also the indoor plants. So I teach about each of those sessions is about 3 hours long. And we cover all sorts of topics from soils all the way to entomology, which is insects, and pathology, which is diseases, along with trees and shrubs and flowers and you name it, fruits and vegetables. And once you have completed that, then you are considered an intern in your county and you work with your county, other volunteers, and you're sometimes matched up with a mentor and you start volunteering. And you can volunteer in all sorts of different ways. So whatever your favorite thing to do in a garden, if you like community gardens, if you like working with youth, if you like teaching seniors, if you like making presentations or writing, just about anything you like to do as a gardener is available as a volunteer activity somewhere in your county. And all of those filter through your extension office. So you don't have to go out looking for any kind of volunteer activity. Sometimes people come forward with things maybe from their church or their kid's school, and you just check with your coordinator or local leader, and they'll help you sort through that. So once you've completed 50 hours that first year, then you're a certified master gardener, and it's 25 hours of volunteering from that time on, along with a little bit of continuing education hours. So I was a master gardener for 10 years. I was active in Hennepin County, and before I was a state director, and that was an awesome experience, really fun. And I personally like teaching master gardeners, which now I do that. So
you do it.
It's all working.
and your mom started this whole thing, didn't
My
she?
My mom started the whole thing. She started, she actually was going to take the Carleton County class. And after being in the class the first morning, she decided she couldn't dedicate the volunteer hours. She and my dad were running a business up there.
Ah.
And so she, but she said to me, you should become a master gardener. And I had
But she
used,
got you interested in the
yeah,
whole horticulture. Yeah,
she did.
Thing.
Yep. Kind of in a really subtle way.
No
she
hammer.
She really made it fun. And our yard that I grew up in was wide open, you know, for picking flowers and digging in the soil and climbing the trees and everything. And I think that's one of the keys to getting kids interested in the outdoors and horticulture is let them do what they do. The plants will grow back no matter what.
Let them have fun.
Yeah, let them have fun. That's what it's all about.
All right, Julie. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We have another half hour of the show to go, so don't go away. If you want to call Julie, you can do it at 651-989-9226. Or send a text, and we'll get back to a bunch of text messages as well. That number is 81807. We'll have a look at that forecast coming up. I can tell you it's 12 below zero. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, brought to us every week by our friends at By the Yard Patio Furniture down there in Jordan, Minnesota. We'll talk about that again. Of course, we thank them for that. And we thank you for listening. Julie Weisenhorn back in studio. And Julie, as you can see, a lot of text messages.
People figure, in the cold.
When it's cold, they want to just let their fingers do the typing and not have to go outside to make a call. I'm not sure why. But why don't we grab a text or
good.
A bunch?
Yeah.
You can go lead off, and I'll let you do your thing there.
Here's a question about houseplants. We have a lot of houseplant questions. How often should houseplants be transplanted? And, well, it depends on the houseplant. And in this particular case, the texter said she transplanted some houseplants last summer, and she also killed her ivy plants. They are starting to come back. Should I cut them back now? I'm not sure if she's talking about outdoor ivy or indoor ivy, but they wouldn't be coming back right now if they were outdoor. But I wouldn't cut anything back at this point, indoor or outdoor, because it's too cold to be outside. And also your houseplants, unless they are really getting gangly, like a pothos vine or something, you could trim those back. And you want to trim just to this side or the far side of a leaf where a leaf attaches. And that will allow or prompt that plant to put out more growth at that point in probably multiple stems. So that's a good thing to do, particularly with ivy. My house faces the full sun all day. What low-maintenance flower can I plant? Here's a planner. This person's planning ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Can I plant in my sunny flower bed in the summer that will bloom all summer? I have, looks like, about 6-plus hours of sun in this area. You have a ton of options. Now, with a window box... I think, is it a window box? Well, no, sunny flower bed, so it's in the ground. There's a lot of different options. There's cosmos and zinnias and snapdragons and all sorts of annual flowers that you can plant in that bed. And they'll, as long as you deadhead them, meaning that you take off the spent blooms, they will bloom for you throughout the summer. And zinnias in particular bloom quite a ways into the fall because they're pretty tough plants. They're tolerant of a little bit of colder temperatures. But I would mix them. I wouldn't just pick one plant. I would look at the bloom times of different plants and pick some that bloom really early in the spring and then keep adding to it so that you have a nice diversity of flowers. Also look for plants that are beneficial for pollinators, things that attract bees and butterflies and other insects, because that is going to increase the health of your landscape. If you have fruit trees or a vegetable garden, that attracts those pollinators, which are important to seed and fruit production. So take a look at that. Look at a catalog. Sit down with a nice hot cup of tea today and pull out a catalog and just start reading about those and make some notes about plants that you like.
Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, it's great. Or visit your garden center in May. That's a good time to start looking at what they have for annuals, and they'll have a ton of stuff in there. So there you can actually see what the plant looks like, unless you want to start with seeds, and then you could look at your catalogs now.
If you want to call Julie and ask your lawn or garden question by phone, we have an open line for you, 651-989-9226. Or again, like a lot of folks are doing, send a text to Julie at 81807.
Yeah. So how often should I fertilize in the winter? This person identifies fish emulsion as their fertilizer. About if the plant is actively growing, you want to fertilize every time you water with about half strength. And if you fertilize with full strength, it's almost too much for the plant. You can accumulate a lot of fertilizer salts on your plant soil, and sometimes it can cause root burn. The fish emulsion won't, but about half strength of the recommendation. Read the label, follow the label, mix it accordingly. I keep an old set of measuring spoons that are just designated for plants. I keep those in my green room, and I just, you know, I use those only for measuring whatever it is I need to measure for plants. So fertilizer in that particular case.
81807. I was thinking, Julie, that as you know, every week we get just a ton of text messages. And for those that maybe can't, or maybe thinking about it, a question later, can they not go on the website and ask a question?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is at extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and we've got all sorts of publications. We have diagnostic tools for pests. We also have Ask Extension. And if you don't get your question answered today, or if you have a question during the week, you can email in up to 3 photographs, and you can email that, and it comes to a group of master gardeners. I'm also on that group, as well as Jackie Fremming, who's up in Brainerd. And you can go ahead, and we'll answer your question for you via email at that point.
I think there was a text earlier, was there not, about the soil testing?
Yeah, and the U of M has a great soil testing lab. And if you can get – well, right now your soil is frozen.
Yes,
you would need a pickaxe to get your soil out. But as soon as you can work that soil, go on the website. They have great instructions about how to take a soil sample, how to submit it. There's a form to fill out. It's about $17. And you'll get your response back depending on the amount of traffic they have going through that lab at the time. But it takes about a week, maybe 2 weeks to do. And then you'll get a wealth of information about your soil. It's a really good thing to do if you haven't done it ever, or if it's been about 5 years since you did it. Or if you're changing something, like you're going from lawn to a vegetable garden or lawn to a flower bed or something like that.
Excellent. Speaking of soil, somebody wants to know, what's the good kind of soil for succulents?
Yeah, succulents are like little, we kind of think of them as little cacti. They're not really cacti, but they're often planted with them. So a cactus soil is a good choice for that. It's well drained. And that's the key for succulents, is that they have good drainage in the soil. Contrary to kind of our, you know, belief, is succulents really don't need a lot of water. They're kind of meaty leaves and stems. And the way to tell if they need water is to feel the leaves. And if the leaves are soft, if they're kind of flexible and soft, then they need to be watered. But if they're firm, just back off.
All right.
The watering can.
Call us, 651-989-9226, or send a text, 81807.
Yeah, a lavender plant that we overwatered and it turned a grayish color and is somewhat brittle. Will it come back? Oh, boy. The best way to tell if you've really overwatered it is to actually take it out of the pot and look at the roots. It may need some transplanting if it's been in the pot for a long time. If it's sitting in, if the leaves have fallen off of it and it's just kind of a bunch of sticks, might be far gone. However, I would still, if the branches are still a little bit flexible and they don't just snap off, then there may still be some green tissue in there. And I would put it in a sunny window, and I would feel the soil, make sure the pot drains well, and I would see if it pops out any new leaves.
All right. Very good.
Why not try it, right?
You bet. Line is open at 651-989-9226. Julie, let's go back to the phones. Barbara is calling from Minneapolis. Barbara, you're on with Julie.
Hi. I got a couple questions.
Okay.
One is about watering for your houseplants. I was told if you let the water stand a few days with the top off, that gets rid of some of the chemicals, and it's safer for the plants.
It gets rid of chlorine. Chlorine,
that's the
will,
only one.
Yeah, chlorine will convert to a gas over over 24 hours.
Okay. My other thing is about the houseplants, the garden plant in sun. I used canna lilies last year.
Oh, they're lovely.
And I got more compliments on it. I had them in the front of the yard at a house, and they were yellow ones and burnt orange.
Beautiful.
With yellow. And you can use them year after year. They aren't bad to dig up in the fall. They aren't that deep.
Yeah, mine are sitting in my garage right now in buckets.
Yeah, they look tropical. They're very pretty. It's a different kind of a plant for sun, if they wanted that for suggestion.
Well, that is a great suggestion, Barbara, because they almost offer an annual shrub-like appearance.
What is
so
that plant?
Big. A canna plant. It's a tuber that is planted, it's big root. And you can, as Barbara mentioned, you can dig it up and keep it from year to year and transplant it.
That's kind of neat.
The one thing about those is I often am too late in transplanting mine, so I would recommend that in February you get them into a pot and you get them in a sunny window and start watering them so that by the time they're ready to go out in May, they're pretty good size. Maybe February might be a little early. March might be better, but depends on your space.
All right, can we grab another?
Do you have any other questions?
Oh, I thought that was two. Did we get your questions answered, Barbara?
Oh, I have one more, but that's okay.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. What is your question?
I saw a beautiful hydrangea last year. It was pink and kind of cone-shaped flower.
Yes.
I don't know which one that was, but would that be all right in sun, or do they take more shade, don't they?
That's probably a hydrangea paniculata, so it's a panicle hydrangea. It's kind of a triangular shape.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah. I love that kind. That's a great species of hydrangea, and we have some gorgeous hydrangeas. They've just exploded on the market. That would be a good full sun plant.
It's what?
It would be a very good full sun plant. Needs a lot of space, probably.
Yeah. Okay, I got just the spot.
Excellent. Yeah,
thanks,
planning
Barbara.
Ahead. Here we go.
Thank you, Barbara.
When it's minus 12, think
yes.
It's spring.
Color, yes. Fair skies, 12 below zero in the Twin Cities. Tell you what, Julie, let's take our usual break here. And when we come back, we'll pick up on more text messages, or you may call Julie if you like, 651-989-9226. Or again, send a text, 81807. We might hit near four above for a high today. Right now, it's 12 below zero, wind chill, a minus 26. Good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show. Danny, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M. You and I were talking about New Year's resolutions before we came back here.
I like to call them plans.
Yeah, but that's not personal ones. Not personal, but as related to gardening.
Yeah.
You have some?
Well, I do. I have, every year I have resolutions. I keep a notebook and I write stuff down about what I did last year so I can actually remember.
Oh, sure.
And thoughts about what I might do this year coming up. So, I mean, one of the things I have to do is I have to thin out some of my native plants that are in my rain garden. I have to move them. I'm going to move them to the backyard now into a sunny location back there. I also have some self-heal seeds that I bought, which is a low-growing plant that we are recommending for bee lawns.
Mm.
And Carl, cover your ears. I'm going to put them in our lawn. It's mowable.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it's mowable, and it blooms little tiny purple flowers and white flowers. And so we're going to have a bee lawn.
So that's
We already have the fine fescues in there that Sam recommends. So I overseeded with that. So I'm going to sneak that in when Carl's not looking.
Okay. Is there anything?
And now he knows.
Yes. It's too late. The word is out. No secrets.
Yeah, but we have a post on our coming up this week on our Yard and Garden news blog, which is accessible through our website at extension.umn.edu. Click on the Garden tab, or you can just Google U of M Yard and Garden News. And our communication specialist, Gail Hudson, is going to be putting up videos of Sam and me and other people in our team talking about their New Year's resolutions and some suggestions for gardeners going into 2018.
What a great idea.
Yeah, so go to that Yard and Garden news blog. It's out there and watch us.
That's great. Yeah. We may be
Do
having
you have any gardening resolutions?
I think
keep things alive.
Keep things alive.
Keep your boxwoods looking good.
Yeah, that's my big project because I planted 12 of them.
Wow.
And I know they're slow growing, so somebody will have to tell me in the afterlife how they've done because they're really slow growing. But I'm very anxious to because I did modify the soil, amend, I guess is your term, right, to the soil to make it some good stuff. So let's see what happens.
That's great. They're a broadleaf evergreen.
Yeah. I love the shape of them.
Yeah, just they're really beautiful plants.
And maybe a hedge someday. You never know. 651-989-9226. Julie, find us a text message or two before we get back to the phones.
Oh, let's see. My jade trees have a white powdery junk on their leaves. I had them outside this summer and brought them in this fall. What can I do? First, you got to find out what that powdery junk is. Is it powdery mildew? Is it mealybugs? Is it scale, cottony scale? So having it identified, first of all, is important. And I would, this is a great opportunity to take a photograph, make it really clear, you know, shoot a nice clear couple photographs and email it in to Ask Extension. And that's accessible on our garden site at extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab, go to Yard and Garden, and then scroll down to Ask Extension, and you'll find a form there that you can really short form, and you can put in some text. And it comes to me. It comes to Master Gardeners. We've got a team of us that are fielding and kind of working on those questions. So that's a great opportunity. Good. We might be able to tell you what it is.
Excellent. Back to the phones we go, Julie. Jim is calling from Wilmer with a question. Jim, you're on CCO with Julie.
Yeah, see, we bought a house recently, and it has vines.
Yes.
Everywhere on the backyard. Looks like someone planted them years ago. Kind of grows up the house, but it also grows up trees.
Oh,
like
right.
Black walnut tree, and it goes probably 40 feet up.
Okay.
And it just like overtakes the fence.
Yeah.
I mean, should I trim that or what should we do with that?
You can do pretty much whatever you want to that vine at this point. I would take it out of the tree for sure, because sometimes they can choke out, they can shade the leaves, you know, the branches from producing leaves. They can choke out some new growth. So you want to take them out of the tree.
Okay.
Fences, if you want to hide the fence, I would just trim it back in the spring, you know, just give it a shape. It sounds like a pretty prolific vine. It might be Virginia creeper. It might be a Boston ivy. If it's climbing up the side of your house and has little suction cup-like attachments, that would probably be Boston ivy.
Right. Some of the vines are like size of your thumb.
Real
thick, real thick. And
sure. You'll need a good sharp lopper for that.
And some of them can be pretty aggressive, can't they?
Yeah, they can. They can really take over. But really tough plants like that, you can prune them back down to the ground probably and just kind of start over with them if you don't like the way they look.
But get them off the tree.
Yeah, and also if you're trying to get rid of those vines, if you want to get them off of the tree, then you can treat just the stump of that vine with a stump killer.
Oh, okay. Very good. Some ideas
there.
Start
it going, yeah.
For you, Jim. Thank you. John is calling from St. Paul with a question. John, you're on with Julie, John.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got an elm tree in my backyard in St. Paul. I don't know what kind it is, but it's about 30 feet tall. And every year I get these warts or bumps on the leaves.
Oh, sure.
The leaves are green. I don't know what that is, if I should be treating that at all.
So those are called galls, G-A-L-L-S. And they're created by insects feeding. And they're harmless. They're just a weird response of the plant to that insect feeding. There's nothing to do. You can't spray for it. Just kind of leave it. It's, you know, nothing to worry about.
Okay. Thanks.
Yep,
very good. Thank you for the call. I think there's time for a couple more texts before we have to break.
Let's see.
See what you can find for us there. And then we'll...
Oh, let's see what we got up here.
Got a lot of them.
Wow.
It grew.
Yeah, let's see. What should I do to get my violet and Christmas cactus to bloom? Oh, good. Well, this is a great opportunity to go to our website. Christmas cacti respond to short day. In other words, the days that as our days get shorter, that's when they start to set bud. So they're called a photoperiod plant. They also respond to temperature, and they like a cooler temperature. So if you've got it in a room that's 72 degrees, take it out of that room, put it in a cooler location. They don't really like days higher or daytime temperatures higher than maybe 70 or 65. And then they like cooler night temperatures. So temperature and light are the two ways that you by dropping the temperature and by just through the days, the daylight getting shorter. Those are the two ways. That's how you can regulate that blooming. As far as the violets, they're more of a plant for outdoors. I'm not sure. I think maybe you mean it might be a pansy, but that would be something that you'd put outside in the spring, and then it should start to bloom.
Somebody wants you to repeat that bee lawn plant thing that Carl is now hearing about.
Yeah, I see. I've got a text message here. it's called self-heal. And some of the plants that we're recommending for bee lawns, white clover is one of the best. It provides a lot of nectar and pollen for bees. And it also is mowable. So if you have a lot of clover, not a bad idea to leave it there. Self-heal is another one. Prunella is the genus. And that is a low-growing plant that tolerates mowing as well. And it has little purple flowers on it. It's not Creeping Charlie.
It's not
Creeping Charlie. There's a little question about how tolerant it is of our cold temperatures, but it's pretty good. So we have some good bee lawn information also on our extension site.
Let's see if we can't fit in one or two more in the next 2 minutes. That's about all we have left. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you keep a Norfolk pine from losing its lower branches when you have it in the house? We just had this question this week. So a Norfolk pine likes bright, sunny light. It likes to be evenly moist in the soil. And what will happen is as it gets bigger in your house, as some of you know from having these plants, is it will start to turn and move toward the light, which plants do. So you want to keep turning the plant. And when it starts to drop lower branches, it's often due to a low humidity, real dry houses, that sometimes will happen. And or it might be also poor drainage in your soil, so in the pot. So make sure that you're watering it regularly, that the pot drains well. It's in a bright window, and if you can add a humidifier near it, that would be awesome.
And
it likes humidity.
Texter wants to know, Julie, before we go on, how do you get a Boston ivy to grow on a cyclone fence? What's the process?
Boston ivy grow, I would recommend a Virginia creeper instead of Boston ivy.
Oh, okay.
Virginia creeper, they grow with tendrils where they circle around and wrap around fences. Boston ivy need to have some flat surface to attach to. They have little suction cups
that they attach to.
So I wouldn't go with Boston ivy. I'd go with Virginia creeper, native plant.
All right. Again, in the remaining seconds that we have, Julie, for those folks that maybe have never gone on the website with you.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great website.
Yeah. extension.umn.edu. Click on the garden tab. Go to Yard and Garden. You can also just Google Yard and Garden U of M. And there we are. We have publications, diagnostic tools, Ask Extension.
And for those of you that don't know that Julie plays in a group called the Abiders, their next gig is when?
January 27th at Billy's in Rockford on Highway 55.
All right. Very good.
Me and the boys.
Who's going to be here next week? You or Teresa?
Teresa, I think, is here next week.
All right. Well, have a good couple of weeks, Julie.
Yeah. Yep,
thanks
we'll
so much.
Soon.
Very good. Stay tuned next for a news break here on CCO, and then get those home improvement questions ready. Andy Lindeson studio next hour. Fair skies, CCO temperature hitting 12 below zero.